Bene. Y'all should be pretty excited last class. I mean, I get it, like I understand excited, but you know, I know we always wanna learn more, but be excited because graduation's coming up real soon. They call it senioritis, as they used to call it in other schools, senioritis. You get to that edge and you ran to go. I hope what we talk about tonight will leave an impression on you concerning church and what church is. And you know, I always endeavor to break old thoughts about things that we have, sometimes that we pick up over the years, and sometimes those old thoughts and those old religious ways sometimes can hinder you from being effective. And that's the whole goal. I mean, that's the whole goal of everything, is to be effective. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you as a strong and clear and present force in our lives. To show us things that we don't know and guide us into all truth. So we ask you to breathe into this word, breathe into us so that we can yield fruit that you desire of us. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 4, let me say this at the beginning of the class too. Your final exam will probably be all your quizzes from this last section, so y'all can just study your quizzes. I ain't got nothing extra for you. I ain't got no paper for you to write, none of that. 1 John chapter 4. I think there's two chapters that I think are two of the most important chapters outside of everything, after everything that Jesus said, of course. I think that's the most important thing in the Bible. But after that, there's two chapters to me that are, I think, of extreme importance. And I think it's kind of the foundation for everything that we're doing and everything that we do. And if we don't have this in place, then we can be doing a lot of things. And we can have a lot of notches in our belts, you know what I'm saying? And we can have a lot of years under our ministry. You know, we've been serving for so many years, and we can do a lot of different things, but not really be effective and not really leave that mark that we should. Jesus left a mark on this world, man, that was and is and always will be phenomenal. I mean, it's just, you can't, as many as people as want to deny, you can't deny Jesus. You can't deny what he did. You can't deny what he did and how he did it. Not just what he did, but how he did it. I mean, the man was magnificent. I mean, he was just, I'm trying to think of all the big words that I can say, because it was just amazing how he did it. I'm excited about what he did, but how he did it. And we don't pay attention to a lot of times, the grace that he did it in, and the compassion, the love that he did it in was just amazing. But there's two chapters that I think are very important outside of, behind what Jesus is saying, and it's 1 Corinthians 13, and we're not going to go there, but it's, the second one is 1 John chapter 4. You know, we call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter, you know, so I'm talking about without charity, and you know, it's 13 verses, but it just go right to the point. But then in 1 John 4, it starts saying the same thing, and I really think that this is church unusual. I think we probably should have never had to have a book called Church Unusual. If things would have went like God planned for it to go, we wouldn't have to write this book. This book would have never had to be written. Wouldn't never had to have a class called Church Unusual to try to figure out what unusual church really is, because really the way God intended it is unusual enough. You know what I'm saying? And God's supernatural is just the way that it's supposed to be. So 1 John chapter 4, and I'll do a little reading and we'll stop in a few places. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that of the Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. I know this Bible time, but it's still in the world, the Antichrist. You know, we thought the Antichrist was this person. You know, we see all these end time stories, end time movies, and the Antichrist is some big guy, and nobody knows he's the Antichrist or whatever. But the Antichrist is here today. You got a bunch of them running around. Sometimes it could be us, huh? Well, amen. That one, but sometimes it could be us. It's Antichrist, like not Christ-like. not doing it the way Christ would. If it's not doing it the way Christ would, that's anti-Christ. I don't want to be an anti-Christ. I don't know about y'all, but I don't. I want to do everything I can to not be an anti-Christ. Right? And now I was in this world. Ye of God, little children, and overcome them. You're talking about those antichrists, those people, those liars, those seducers. We have overcome them because greater is he that is where? In you, in me, than he that is in the world. They that are of the world, they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It's a powerful two scriptures. We'll read them again. Verse 7 and 8. You can read them. Ready, read. So what you're telling me is, so what I'm saying is, and it's very simple, so what I'm seeing here is he that loves knows God. So one of the prerequisites of saying if you really know God, everybody wants to scream that they know God. Every reverend that we hear say they know God. But the way that we find out if you really know God is by your love. We find out how much you know God by how much you love him. You may not know God that well because you don't love that well. If you got a problem with loving, a problem with loving your brother, we're going to see it in a couple minutes. We got a problem with just showing nothing but love, not selective love, not when it feels good love. Jesus said that. He said, you know, it's easy to give to them that like you. It's easy to them that's easy. It's easy to give to your family and your people that's close to you that you know got your back. What about them other people? What about them ones that may not do what you want them to do with it on the first time? What about that one that you gave that money to, and they may not exactly do what you wanted them to do with it the first time? How you feel? Are you following your heart, or are you just trying to use your head? Because you got so many people that won't do the things like you were doing. What about that then? What if they don't follow the instructions all the time? What if they, you know, children are very long-suffering tests of love, because I know I was a long, long suffering test with my parents, because I know there's some things they told me to do, and I always wanted to do the other thing. I always wanted to, you know, and not just trying to be a bad child, but it's just the nature of a child. It's easy to love that child that's always sit still, and they sit still, which I don't know where that is, but you know. But what about that one that's always up the wall? You know, sometimes that's us. God gotta love us. Through that, he that loveth not knoweth not God. So you don't even know God if you don't love. Why is that? Because God is love. And this was manifested love towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live how? How that we might live how? Yeah. Now that, but one of the key words in there is that we might live. Might might give a connotation to might, and you might not. It's a possibility that we can do it. It's a maybe. It's a possibility that we can do it, but he gave us a right to do it. But we gotta know we've been covenant minded enough and be connected enough to God to know that we can live through Christ. But it's a might. If you don't condition your mind that way, if you don't condition your heart that way, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son, the propitiation for our sins. All right, I'm not even going to go to verse 11 yet, but it's herein is our love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son, the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love. Herein this is love. Not that we love God. Not the church on you is a church versus church on you is a church. Verse church unusual, church versus church unusual, right? Church versus church unusual. Now, church, what we're normally doing is we're coming to show God how much we love him. We read to show him how much we love him. We pray to show him how much we love him. We go to church to show how much we love him. We try to live right to show how much we love him. We do all these different things. We give because we're trying to show how much you love him. But it's not because we love God. There's nothing that your faith is based on that's because of what you did, because of what you can do, or because of what anything you're going to do. That's not the foundation of your faith. If you and your works are the foundation of your faith, I'm sad for you. I feel sorry for mankind. If my faith is based on my works, I feel sorry for my life. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us, that he loved us. That's where our faith is in. Our faith is in the fact that God loves me. Say it. That's where my faith is. Now, my faith is in that. My faith here. This is love. This is love that I know is not because of me trying to do something for him, but that he loves me. That's where my love is stamped. All right. Now, in a minute, we're going to start reading. And right after he said this, that God loved you. Right after he said this, verse 11, he said, beloved, if God so loved us, what's the next part? We ought to love one another. So now this is a, you're not, now if you can't love somebody, if you're not loving, if you don't love, then they're saying you don't know God. We heard it read in a minute ago, right? If we're not loving, you don't even know which way God coming from. You ain't heard his voice, because the first thing his voice is going to say is love. We're looking for all kind of instructions, all kind of directions, all kind of revelations. The first one going to come is love. That's the first thing he's going to say. The first thing he's going to give you is always going to be, and I said this, and I'm glad I thought about this. Always watch this. You write this down, but then I'm going to show you how God is. Always lead with love. Another way to say it, always lead off with love. You can write it down right under there. Then write this down. Love always leads. That's how God was with us. God led off with love. I know, you can say what you want about yourself, I know that I can be an unlovable somebody. And I know that I'm just thinking through my life and thinking about, this is not even thinking that far back, thinking about today and the attitude I had and how I thought about things and what I got angry about and what I did and didn't want to do and when I did listen and I didn't want to listen. And I thought about how much love somebody got to have for me. You know God's love never changes? Do you know God's love never leaves? Do you know that God's love it never goes away? You can curse God and he'll never turn his back on you. Do you understand what that means? What can separate us from the love of God? That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful concept. If you're meditating long enough, you'll lose it. Because it's a powerful thing that in the midst of all my junk, he loves me. It's above what we can understand because he loves me the same. Like he loves me like I didn't have the junk. Like I can say the junk right now, and then 2 minutes after, not even 2 minutes, like a second after the junk, he loved me right before the junk. The same way. Like the love is consistent. It doesn't, see, God don't have, we got, that's the kind of love we got. We got that fair weather love. You know, we get mad and we get, I ain't talking to you today. And, you know, that's what we're doing. And it's only because we're Lord and God. We always trying to rise up and get on that level. But he don't waver. He don't like everything we do. He don't like us all the time. I'll go with that. He don't like us all the time. But God always, always, always loves us. And so, herein is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Oh, no, I skipped the part. Herein is our love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to, not we can or you should or you might. No, you ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know what that scripture tells me? That sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, people won't even see God till they see love. They can't even see him. They'll know about him, but they won't know him. No man has seen God. Look at the scripture. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. Now, you know, the love is in there already. Inside of you. The love is in there. You just got so much other junk on top of it. Oh, it's in there. It's in there, and it's strong. And it's a pulsing force, and it's raring to get out and change everything about you and life around you. The love of God is the love of God, the love that is God. God is a very strong vibrating force that's on the inside of you. The thing that's keeping you alive right now. You know, we think about the blood cells and all the blood and all this stuff. All those things are manifestation of what God is doing inside of us spiritually. And it's a beating force on the inside of you that's waiting to come. It's fighting to get out. It's fighting to get out. It's fighting to God is fighting to come through you. It's God's work within you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure, right? It's God's work within you. He's raring to get out so that he can come out of you and change you and everything around you. The love of God. It wants to change you and everything around you. It's raring to get out. We've got to get this out of the way. And we've got to get all these other things out of the way, all these hurt feelings that we've had about different things, and all these different thoughts that we've incurred over the years. We've got to get all that out the way so that the love of God can come in and come out and do what it wants to do and change everything. It's the only thing that's going to change everything. Your message is not going to change everything. Your tongues is not going to change everything. Your preaching, your witnessing out in the streets, all these different things that we're trying to do with we have these different, you know, we build doctrine upon a lot of different principles, a lot of ones and twos and A's and B's and C's, and we build on a lot of different things. But, you know, you have not love, you're just a sound of brass or a tinkling cymbal. We love worship, and we sing in the worship songs, and we get off in the spirit, and we start crying, right? Right? But without love, you're just a sound of brass. Those things that we are trying to imitate Jesus in, are trying to do what Jesus did, all those are manifestations of love. If we get a revelation of the love of God, that's already, look, we ain't got to go nowhere to get it. It is already on the inside of us. If we cannot get that revelation of the love of God and who he is in us and what he expects from us towards others, then the church can close down. They can give it up. Oh, yeah, all of them. If they don't get that revelation, they can give it up. They're going to be useless. You can be a reverend, a doctor, name something. Name something that you're the minister and whatever. Name one of the types. You can be one of those. And if you don't have that, you can give it up. You will never be effective. Above all else, get this. Please, above all else, understand this. Before you learn all the other scriptures, before you learn all everything else, before you learn, memorize the whole chapter, before you do all those, that's cool. Praise the Lord for all that. But please get the love. Understand. Get a revelation of the love. Let God reveal his love to you. Once he reveals his love, then everything else will fall in place. Your understanding of what he's trying to accomplish will be clearer now. You ever feel sometimes that it's not as clear? Not as clear what the will is or what the direction is? Yeah, all of that's going to clear up when we get a revelation of love. The love is the thing that we look through that clears everything up. Well, we've been going backwards. We've been trying to say this before, and I'll say it again. We've been trying to work to love instead of working from love. It's a flip-flop, and it's been messing things up because we work, pray, study, because we're trying to get to love. We're trying to get to the love of God, but the love of God is already on the inside of you, so now your operation should be working from love. So now it changes your study and your prayer time. Now you're not working towards it, you're working from it. So now when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is where? Shed abroad in your hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost. So now because I pray in the Holy Ghost, all he's doing is opening me up, getting my mind out the way. My meditation is straight. My mind is straight. My conditioning is straight. So now the love has a clear pipeline to work outside of me. So now my devotion is different now. I'm not trying to get a word, I got a word. I'm not trying to get a message, got a message. How much deeper message do we have to have with the love of God? I told somebody today, and this really took me to the scripture, and we'll read a little further, and I'll read a little further into it. Let me just read and we'll get there. Verse 14, and we have seen and do and testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And he's stressing the point. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, what's the next line? Well, I got a question. As he is, so are we in this world? It's a question. I'm going to say it as a question. You can ask yourself, as he is, so are we in this world? Like, as he is, are we really like him in this world? Are we like us trying to serve him? Are we like us trying to serve God? He wants to be like him. Your child, you don't want your child, your child may do things for you, but you want your child to grow up in the same virtues and character that you do, to be like you and even better than you. Isn't that the point? Right? You don't want your child just to be running around picking up stuff. That's child abuse. If that was the case, God would have built a bunch of robots if he wanted just a bunch of servants to pick up and carry stuff on. Do we not get the point? Do we not? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Remember that scripture? Who the angels asking, what is this man that you mindful? You see he keep messing up, but you still love him and you still give him second chances and you still keep forgiving him over and over again. And then you're going to send Jesus? You're going to send your only son down here for these people? What is mankind that you are so mindful of these people? God's love. It's such a powerful thing. And it's so much deeper, so much higher, so much wider than we can understand. Only the Holy Ghost can give us a revelation of that. And once, the only way that we'll change the world, the only way that we can be a true witness is by having a revelation of the love of God. This is the only way that we can make any kind of difference. We can quote our jargons, we can quote our scriptures, we can say our cool things, we can pass out our tracts, we can do all these different things. But if we do not have a revelation of the love of God, it's all in vain. It's been a lot of vanity in the church as a whole. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness right quick, right? Right, a literal witness. As a church in a whole, for years, there's been a lot of vanity and vexation. Because there's been a lot of jargon and a lot of things going on and a lot of 1, 2, 3 punches and all these different things, and nobody's getting a grip. I'm not saying nobody, but nobody's getting a grip of the love of God. We just bow down and get that. We bow down and understand that. Elementary, my dear. You need to be jumping nowhere else. Anchoring that love. It changes everything. Verse 18, there's no fear in love. I was talking today, and I was reading, I want to say this properly. My mind is always, I'm always trying to figure out, trying to search and see what the Holy Ghost is saying and what, where am I missing it? You ever do that? You should do that on a regular. Like, let me say this, and I'll say it like this. We are infected with an everyday virus called self. And there is no one-time pill for it. Every day, there's got to be a shot of vaccination for that thing called self. You know what that vaccination is called? Dying. Every day. You know what's going to happen? I don't care how spiritual to get tonight. Come on, go in there. Have church, lay hands on everybody. And tomorrow, you're going to have to kill yourself. It's an infection. It's just the cursed nature. We deal with it every day. We need another shot. Shoot, every other moment. I need shots over and over again. I need every few minutes. I need to be renewed in this love thing. And so, it is very easy to do good things out of self. I want you to listen to what I'm saying for a minute, because it is very easy to do a lot of things to add notches to your belt, and you miss the point of the whole point of humankind. When we witness, I was reading a little witnessing booklet, and the first statement was, you know, it says you must be born again. Praise the Lord for that. But the first thing that it tells you is, and it irked me a little bit, and I realized that sometimes we miss the point, because the first thing it teaches you to witness is, you know, why should I be born again? Because if you don't, you missed the opportunity to go to heaven and possibly go to hell. And we witnessed like that before. Tell the truth. You know, if you die tonight, all right, now y'all got to stick with me now. I understand. Don't crucify me. Don't nail me to the cross right now. Please don't. Don't throw the stones at me. But, you know, we've done it. I've done it before. I've done a lot of altar calls like this. You know, if you die tonight, would you know whether you're going to heaven or hell tonight? You know, that'll scare the hell out of you. Amen. It'll scare the hell out of you. We were talking about that, me and Darius and a couple of people were talking about it today. And I said, you know, I just can't you know, I judge myself because I want to be like God, and I want to do him justice when I'm talking about him. I want to do him justice when I'm being a witness for him. I want to make it stick. I know how he makes it stick. Like, I know, even being a Christian right now, I know, you know, as I ask the question, I say, well, what's the biggest benefit of being born again? That we lead off with, I get to go to heaven. I'm going to see my Savior one day, right? Y'all know the old thing we say, right? I'm going to be with my Lord. Well, if you're going to be with your Lord, who you with right now? You never thought about it like that, huh? If I'm going to see my Savior, what you looking at right now? This whole thing is about God's love. All those things are just products of the love. You thought he sent Jesus to save us so that we finally get a ticket to go to this beautiful place? Thank God for that. Praise the Lord for that. But it's about his love. To reconcile us to him. To bring us back in relationship with him. To bring us back to the point that we can be just like him. We can walk in his love just like he is. That's the goal. But many times we don't lead off with that. It's when we witness sometimes, we got to be mindful, because now we're thinking about our crowns. Huh? You know, crown, you know, they say you're going to get the crowns. You do, you know. Y'all know the story, you know, like, the more witnessing we're doing, you're going to have crowns. So now you're doing stuff for your crown. Sounds selfish to me. How you going to the next life being selfish? How you leave selfish out of one life and then go to glory selfish? You trying to go towards glory selfish. It doesn't work that way. Nothing that God does is self-motivated. He doesn't walk out that way. That's deep, but it's real. And so plenty of times we can do things to we're trying to prove to God that we love him. And I'm not. I was in church a couple Sundays ago, and the song is a new song, and the song says, "Because of your love, everything is possible. Because of your love, I'm completely whole. Because of your love, I walk in prosperity. It's because of your love for me." And I thought that was so profound. Simple words, but I thought it was so profound, because it's because of your love that anything is anything. It's not of works. right? You know, the Bible says that. It's not of your works, because if it was of your works, you can boast. Last time you got real spiritual, then you feel kind of boasted up a little bit. Tell the truth. You know, me too, Reverend. Yeah, you preach a message. Now you're feeling yourself a little bit. No, it's not of works. It has nothing to do with your works. Because of your love for us, this is why everything is. That's why. So because of that love is the reason that somebody should want to give their life. We have this gold digger witnessing. Y'all know what a gold digger is, right? Everybody know what a gold digger is, right? Come on. Everybody know what a gold digger is, right? Right. You just with them because they got something that you wanted, right? Or you just with them because you, right. So we got this gold digger mentality. We witness gold digging. You know, God going to give you all this and give you all this. You know, he going to give you all this stuff. You know, if you, you know, and I get it, and I understand the promise, but the promise ain't the goal. The love is the goal. So we lead off, start promising them heaven, and sometimes they don't hold on because the love is the only thing that gives the hold on. The love is actually the only thing that there is to hold on. You give them a bicycle with no handlebars. You ever rode a bike with no handlebars? You ever rode a bike before? Everybody rode a bike? Everybody rode a bike before? Come on. Rode a bike. Now imagine riding that thing with no handlebars. I know they had some little fancy little dudes sometimes. They used to, you know, lean their body and everything, but that didn't last too long. Hit a curve. Hit a real deep curve. You ain't got that much lean. They ain't got that much control, right? But you're giving them a bike with no handlebars, so there's no direction. So they don't even know which way to go. They don't know what direction, but their love points them in the right direction. The love of God is the only thing that can anchor a man in his will. We're making these promises, and we throwing all these things, and we the next scripture. What verse we in right now? What verse we in? I think it's verse 18, huh? Read 18. Ready, read. What? Hold on, say it again. No, they got a little bit in there. A little bit of fear. Right? What did that thing say? All right, now read the whole thing. Start from the beginning. Ready, read. Torment. What else we heard that got torment? What's something else we hear all the time that got torment? Huh? What's the name of that place? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no fear in love. Perfect love. Purposeful love. Casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Now one thing about love and about fear. See, fear cannot keep you. This fear that they're talking about, I know about the fear of the Lord. I get that. It's talking about the reverence. The fear of the Lord is talking about reverence. That's not the fear they're talking about right here. Fear, scared. You scared about it. See, fear does not, because eventually you're going to get brave. I told, we were talking today, and people don't understand the generation that's coming up next. And I don't know, I guess one day we're going to get it. But people don't understand this generation. I want to say it like this. These Negroes not scared of hell no more. They think them and all their friends going to hell was shoot. I'm serious. Like they really have a mentality. Well, hell. They say, you're going, well, hell, I'm going to hell. They have a mindset that they're not afraid. Now they probably changed their mindset once they get there. But the old things have changed so much through the years, and it used to be where even when I was younger, like it used to be, I mean, I know, but even more before I was born, but it used to be where there was only a certain streamline of information, so you didn't have access to a lot of different thoughts. There was no mass mind. There was no you can think what you want to think. There was no that. Mama told you to do it, you do it because I told you to do it. You ain't got no choice. You don't how. What is how? I knock your lips off. Ain't no how. Why? What is why? What is where is that at? Do what I told you to do because that's it. You ain't got no choices, nothing else. You don't have no thoughts. I am your thoughts. But even in life, there was no internet. There's no a lot of phone. A lot of people talking. So whatever I can say, you know. you know, heaven or hell to you, and you know what I'm saying, you got the choice. You can't really think nothing else. So we're going to pick this because Big Mama told me that we got to serve the Lord, right? And I didn't have any other thoughts. I didn't even have anything else coming in my mind to make me think second guess. And a lot of people are missing love then, but I didn't have it. But as years gone by, you have access to so much different thoughts, so many different things, and so many different types of religions, and so many different quote unquote ways. So people like to say, we know there's only one way. But there's so much that people are mass-minded. And the do what I told you to do because I told you to do it doesn't work anymore. Even scaring the hell out you don't work anymore. You do those plays, and those plays were cool and everything, hellfire and hell flame and all that. And they were cool, but they were scaring the hell out of people. I was going to get up too. They turned the heat on a little bit and that. Yeah, I'm going to get up too. I'm going to get up. But after, it's like a scary movie, but after I've, you go see a scary movie right after, they're like, oh, boy. I'm in a movie called Scream, and Scream with a dude called the phone and start talking reckless on the phone, and you know he about to come kill you, right? So the next day, the next night, the next day, I was a teenager. I was kind of shook. I wasn't answering the phone. They were playing a game. My homeboy called me, yay. I was like, yo, I'm not playing that game. But after I made a few days, a few nights, and nobody came and murdered me, praise the Lord, right? And nothing happened. I didn't get no crazy phone call. All my phone calls got back normal. And the buzz was gone, and the high was gone, right? And the excitement was gone. I went back to being normal. Now the phone call didn't bother me no more because I wasn't afraid anymore. That's how a lot of eyewitnessing wean off. We scam, we start talking. You know, you can preach somebody to get hot right there where they at. You can preach them enough about hell's fire, and it'll start, they get to sweating. But then what? What is it? Is hell's fire, is knowledge about hell's fire the thing that's going to make them love God more? Is knowledge about hell's fire going to take them? Where's the Bible? Show me the scripture. Show me the scripture in the Bible that say faith worketh by knowing about hell's fire. Show it to me. Show it to me that we are to teach the world about hell's torment. Show me the scripture where we ought to teach them how much God is a punisher. Y'all got one? Y'all ain't got none, huh? I don't think y'all got none. Come on. I don't think we got none. I don't think it's in there. The love of God. Everybody say the love of God. Lead off with love. Lead off with love, because that's the only thing that's a foundation. If your faith works by that, right, then the just shall live by. If your faith works by that, don't you think it's pretty important? It's important for everybody. If your faith works by love, what makes you think their faith is going to work by something else? Talking about witnessing. Talking about the church. We're talking about what we should do. Love one another. Love one another as God has loved us, as Christ loved us. That should be the thing. We got so much coming up to do. We got so much graduating to do, and so much we must transcend the normal way we've been doing things to really realize, God, where's your love in this? What am I doing? What am I doing right now? I'm doing this today. Where's your love? You know what I'm saying? Where is the love? Where's the love? Where's the love? I'm looking for it. Where's the love? Where's the love? God, where's your love in this? Right? In my speech, where's your love? In the way I handle the situation, where's your love, God? Huh? Holy Ghost, what do you do? He teaching your God, right? And the guys in all truth, right? Show you things you don't know, right? And teach you all things. What do you think all that is, love? Yeah, he gonna bring things to your remembrance. Yeah, he gonna remember now. Remember this now, that before you start going off like you're going off, remember. We got a lot of stuff to remember. But just remember that God loved you through yours. Doesn't mean there's no correction. Doesn't mean there's no rebuke and reproof and correction. Doesn't mean it's not that. But how do you do it? The only way any of this sticks is through love. If I come up here, if anybody ever preached to you out of anything but love, then it'll never stick. Because love is the only thing that makes it stick. It'll never stay. Anytime you minister, it's got to be out of love. Ask God that first. Before you ask him to anoint you, Ask him to let you be engulfed in his love. Let your mind be cleared and open so that his love can exude itself through you. Before you ask for an anointing, before you ask for his spirit to come down on you, you know, all the things we say and all, before you ask for anything else, Lord, just let me show your love. Can I just show your love to somebody? We don't understand that the anointing and the spirit and all those different things and the manifestation are roots, are a manifestation of the root, which is love. The Bible talks about being rooted and grounded. We can get that, we got everything else. We were talking about it last week, it was simplify. Everybody say simplify. Come on, say it again, simplify. Come on, say it again, simplify. We all over here, low here, low there. Right. Oh, but it's work. It's work because we are professional non-lovers. Huh? Uh-huh. Amen. Come on. Come on. All y'all watching online, you're professional. We've been built. This cursed world have taught us how to fight for your own. Stick with your people. Right? Look out for yourself. Ain't nobody gonna look out for you. Oh, where's God? I'm not preaching a naive message. But it's, you know, don't talk to nobody. Don't smile too much. They're gonna think you're weak and all that. Just different little stuff that we come up with and we miss the point. And so therefore we're not effective. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if somebody got saved out of fear, are they saved? Good question, ain't it? Because he that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth is not made purposed in love. Then he goes back to verse 19 and says it again. What did he say? He's trying to make a point. Y'all get the point he's trying to make? If you don't pick up nothing else from this class, the last class, you don't pick up nothing else from the class, all the messages, if you don't pick up nothing else, you got to get a revelation of love. You got to, I love all your other classes and praise the Lord. If you got to get a revelation of love. Love is the life force to make all this stuff work. It's it. Love is the thing that began your salvation. For God so. Verse 12, if a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And I heard somebody write in a book the other day, it's a powerful statement, it's almost a gut-wrenching statement. He said, well, the scripture says, he said, I'm prone to say that the scripture says, if you can't love your brother who you can't see, then you can't love God who you can't see, right? Right, right? He said, I'm prone to believe that you can't even have faith in God. Wow. You're not able to even have faith in God because you can't love your brother who you can't see. Well, what does faith work by? Uh-huh. So there we go. How you operating in faith? How you working in faith and you can't love? And that last scripture, read it. What you thought this whole Jesus thing was about? These 33 years that he spent on this earth. What you thought it was about? You thought it was about you? It was. But it was. You was in the mix. But what you thought it was about? Like, what did you think? You thought it was just about the bloodshed on the cross and the price of the pay? If you thought it was just about that, then God would have done that. He'd have brought him down as a grown man and made that happen. It was something deeper. It was something bigger. It was a whole demonstration that was for us. What did you think this was about? What do you think that Jesus demonstrated? You know, Jesus came to reveal the Father. What do you think he was trying to reveal? How to do miracles? I mean, okay, cool. That's what you want to do. Then that's what excites you. Then that's cool. Like I get where you at then. If that's what excites you. how to walk on. Okay, if that's what you want to walk on water, cool. For what? Where you going? Right? Like if those are I get all that, but he wasn't here to make a flashy show for us, to make us know how super cool he was. His whole life was to show us how to love your brother and how to love your neighbor. They asked him, what's the great commandment of love? He said, the first one is to love your Lord your God with everything you got. And the second one is just like it, that you love your neighbor just like you love yourself. What do you think he was trying to say? Jesus wasn't down here to give you your principles. He was trying to show you. He was trying to show us how it goes. The whole thing, the whole 33 years was for that. To demonstrate to you how to love your brother. Even in the flipping over of the tables in the synagogue. Even when he told that woman, I ain't called for nobody else but the lost children of the house of Israel. I ain't casting the dogs. I ain't give the dog. Even in the midst of all that, he was loving this woman. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. That's it. That's what he was here for. He was here to watch this. He was here to bring you back into reconciliation with God, to bring you back to connection with God. It's powerful, man. He was here to bring you back into connection with the Father so that you can have, the love never left. Now, the love never left, but we didn't have a right because we fell away because of what Adam. We didn't have a right to operate in that deity. We had taken on the likeness of man. Like we took on our own thing. And not physically us, but just, you know, began with Adam, but we got to take on that because that was our father. God said, I'm going to bring you back into the price is paid to bring you back to where you in connection. I mean, he stamped that thing home. Powerful that he stamped that thing home. That I'm going to bring you back. Now I'm going to stamp this thing home and bring you back to where you can be right there with me, just like it was before anything ever happened, right? And then that whole life was to show you life. I am come that you might have and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. No man coming to the... Now, talking about going to heaven. Do y'all get it? No man cometh to the Father. No man becometh like the Father. Cometh. No man becomes like the Father, but like me, like I did it. In the name of Jesus, the character of Jesus, that's what he was doing. So now I brought you back into connection, and then I showed you how to operate that connection. I showed you how to operate in that thing. I showed you what it was for. It wasn't for you to get all yours. Praise the Lord that you get yours, because yours is a product of somebody else getting theirs. Cook's way to get a manifestation is to make it manifest to somebody else. How backwards do we have it, though? You ever thought about that? Like how, you know, we close, but we not, like, hitting the nail on the head. Right? And it's just some adjustment. I know I got to make some. Huh? And I got to make a lot of adjustments because it's, how can I love my brother more? How can I love my neighbor more? What was it today that I could have done more to love my neighbor? Well, you don't want to be a dummy. You don't want to be naive. I get all that, but we ain't got no time to be trying to figure out we naive or not naive right now because we not doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? We figure that out later. At least we need to get something going in that direction. We need to be shooting in the direction of love. Well, don't give them that because we need to be shooting in that direction. Because for the long, we've been shooting in another direction. We work on your jumper. We work on your aim after a while. But we need to run to that side of the court. That's the whole goal. Have not love. 1 Corinthians 13. Go look at it real quick. Go look at it. How much time? 2 minutes. If it's 2 minutes, it's long enough. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read the chapter. It's only 13 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting off verse 1, ready to read. Amen.